Tom Rankin and the Sliver. I'm Julia Scatliff O'Grady. Tom Rankin is a professor and the director of the MFA in Experimental and Documentary Arts program at Duke University. Rankin is a well-known photographer who is also the inventor of the sliver. A sliver is an increment of time in which Tom tackles something he has either put off or is now encouraged to begin. He drops everything and slivers. Tom's slivers can last 5 minutes or 5 hours, even 5 days. We spoke with Tom at his photography studio in Hillsboro, North Carolina, where he said he thinks about things a little differently now than he did when I interviewed him for the book.
I'm looking for not slivers of pie, but like whole pies now. I need 10 hours to go in the darkroom to complete a body of work. I mean, I want 10 hours. I don't have to have it, but I want the whole day so that I can make mistakes, change direction, and complete something. The issue of how do you ever finish? You know, how do you ever close the deal? If it's a print, if it's a paragraph, if it's an essay. I think for me, I have to have that kind of time where I lose track of time. You know, where I'm not thinking, well, I've got until 11:30 to finish this. I mean, I do plenty of that. But to really finish like a piece of work, I would need to be able to sit down and not worry about the other end of the time. One of the reasons I think to take advantage of the slivers is that, you know, you're only passed this way once. And there's a conundrum there. You know, do you just want to run yourself ragged trying to climb every mountain or whatever the cliche would be? Or do you want to, you know, sit and savor the moments? The way that I talk about it with students and with myself, actually, is I remind myself how many times where I like drove by something, a building with light on it that looked really cool. And I thought, you know, next time I come back here, I know I'm going to photograph that. And I come back and it's no longer yellow. It's now it's green and it doesn't really look very good. And that picture is gone. If you think of yourself as a photographer, if you're moved in a moment and you don't stop and take that picture, you don't get to do it again. Welty said it, the snapshot is now or never. The photograph is now or never. There isn't really ever another time. I mean, you know, everything is that way. All experience is temporal. And those images you want to make or record or just experience is temporal. The water, you know, there's not the same river twice. It's never the same river. And in some ways, you know, you could argue that photography and film and all the stuff we teach is just a way to teach people to, all of us, to perceive and see. And it's really not about the product. It's just about the, you know, acute perception and noticing that the light just changed. Wow. Isn't that cool? What time is it? I wonder if it'll do that again tomorrow. That's the only real reason for us to go to all this trouble to frame everything, is to make it so that we actually perceive what's going on around us.
Forget instructions and strategic planning and follow your intuition instead. That is what the sliver is all about. Learn how to act in the moment. Carpe diem, like it's not a cliche.
The paradox for me giving sort of instruction is I don't read the instructional manuals now. I never planned to do what I do. I never sought out, I didn't have a plan. I had intuition, and I kind of kept moving in the directions I thought I wanted to move. And you do have to really trust your intuition. If what you see seems magical, or if you see something going on that you think shouldn't go on, just act. You get increasingly told there's all kinds of things you need to know before you do X, and there's theoretical models that you better be aware of before you do Y, and there's this, and all of that can be really helpful. But at the end of the day, there's really nothing, no lasting art that wasn't connected to intuition and to a kind of personal urge to say something. And you really got to trust that, even in an age when a lot of people are probably encouraging you not to trust that. And my wife Jill says that the unconscious is infinitely more intelligent than the conscience. And when she teaches, I think she really urges students to write from those places where they're not really sure why they're going there, and then take that and shape it into something. But the first pass, you know, with back to the camera, the first pass has got to be more intuitive. There'll be plenty of times to be cerebral about the sequence of the images and which ones work and which ones don't. But that moment, the now or never moment, is more guttural and intuitive, I think. I have tended to be an additive person. You know, you can always just add one more thing. There's always, you know, another sliver, so just keep adding. And, you know, that is, of course, ludicrous, but that's the way I've been. And I think a combination of recognizing that there is a point where the canvas is so big you can't possibly paint, and I'm mixing metaphors here, but you can't be in control of any of all of this stuff. It's just too big, it's overwhelming, has caused me to just say I'm done with some things. And then, so there was a time when, I shouldn't use that word, there was a period, there was a time.
Four-letter word.
There was a time when you know, I felt that time was a little more infinite. You know, the night goes on forever, the road goes on forever. And, you know, there's always another year, another. I don't know if it's that I'm in my 60s, or I don't know if it's because, you know, I've had enough friends die and leave. But I'm much more aware that, you know, what you want to get done, you better kind of plan to get it done, because there's just not enough time to kind of wander and be sure it will happen. And so that causes me to make some harder choices and to give up certain things. I mean, that's really one reason I decided I would have been director of the center for another 20 years if I thought I'd live to 135. But I knew I wasn't going to live to 135. So, you know, to continue to direct the center and not be able to do as much of my own work. And so I started making some of those choices, and I'm making more and more of them, and trying to, you know, be very careful about saying yes. I used to not be so careful about saying yes. I said yes pretty quickly. It is about just time, and I guess it's a little bit about energy, but fortunately it's less about energy right now than just time.
Hi, it's Julia. I'm back in the studio to do a debrief with our podcast producer, Jim Haverkamp.
So it seems like out of the three people that you interviewed for this podcast, that Tom's life has probably changed the most since you interviewed him over 10 years ago.
For sure. When I first interviewed him, he was the head of the Center for Documentary Studies. He was in charge of not only his own like creative passion photography, but a huge staff that he had to manage, and he struggled with that. This idea of trying to like sliver out time for his creative pursuit and be in charge of this very large, very successful institution.
So my sense of the sliver, I have to admit, I haven't read the book in a couple years, so you'll have to correct me. But I always thought it meant kind of taking unused slices of time in your day, where maybe you have 15 or 20 minutes before you have to go to a meeting or something, and those kind of weird little oases of time that I usually spend just, you know, looking at the same four websites over and over again, but that he could kind of use those little hidden nuggets within a day, a little sliver of time to get something done. But it also seems to be much bigger than that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's bigger or if it's smaller. I think the sliver itself as a concept is one that the reader's meant to personalize in some manner. I think because Tom is a photographer, the sliver, he says in this chapter, framing renders anything closer. So you know, I see that pile of clutter, I'm going to put a frame around it and I'm going to go tackle it. That's what the sliver is meant to be, that you isolate out something that you've put off or that you know needs doing, and you go over and you do it. So it's a way to reckon with procrastination and guilt and just jump in and do it. Not thinking, oh, I don't have time for this now. Just saying, I'm going to take 10 minutes and I'll get done as much as I can with that time and space. But you mentioned, you know, that his life really has changed a lot since the book came out. And he, as he said, you know, he's looking for not slivers, but what do you say, whole pies. He's looking for expansive time. But I'd argue that he's still trying to find those points in life where he can go off on his own and get something done. You know, I don't often read Poor Richard's Almanac, but I was reading it this morning, and Benjamin Franklin had this same concept that, you know, if you've got time now to do something, don't waste it. Jump in and get going with whatever it is you've been putting off. So I don't begin to think this was unique to Tom, but just that because he's a photographer, he can see that everything's temporal and everything changes, so you have to act now. Next time on the podcast, we slow things down, way down. We talk to Alex Bird about his practice, geological time. Thanks to Tom Rankin for appearing in this episode. The Good Busy podcast is written and directed by me, Julia Scatliff O'Grady, produced and edited by Jim Haverkamp, and recorded at Shadowbox Studio in Durham, North Carolina. Our theme music is by Joyce Fentimiglia. If you like what you hear, you can order a copy of Good Busy, Productivity, Procrastination, and the Endless Pursuit of Balance at Amazon.com or rcwms.org. To leave a comment about the Good Busy podcast and read more about me, Julia Scatliff O'Grady, go to jsogrady.com. Thanks for listening.